Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Season 5 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we talk with enterprise and technology platform leaders about the people, processes, and platforms that make marketing and customer experience successful, scalable, and sustainable. This is what creates an agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 marketing and CX leaders and teams as principal and chief strategist at GK5A and best-selling author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and Agile certified coach. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full stack technology services, talent services, and real world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. To sign up for the Agile Brand newsletter and get the latest insights and articles on marketing technology and CX, or to purchase a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, go to gregkilstrom.com. You can also find all my books on Amazon and other retailers. And now on to the show. Today, we're going to talk about the buyer's experience and how automation and intentional approaches can improve it and lead to more valuable customers. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Leah McTiernan, GVP Presales Solutions at DocuSign. Leah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Greg. Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we start by you giving a little background on yourself as well as what you're currently doing at DocuSign?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So Leah McTiernan, I'm based in Philadelphia with my family, Chris and my daughters, two daughters, Abby and Madeline. Professionally, I've been in software since 1996 and in pre-sales for 18 years. I had a really brief stint in engineering right after college, but from there, I've always had customer roles on the customer-facing roles, I should say, on the implementation side, the consulting side, and I first moved into pre-sales at a company called mTORIS that was acquired by IBM. And while at IBM, I had the opportunity to move into management, which was a great experience there. And about 9 years ago, I came to DocuSign. My role, as you said, at DocuSign, it's group vice president of the pre-sales organization. And essentially, my role is in our function is managing all the supporting roles to the sales organization. So it's really four distinct groups that roll up to pre-sales. It's solution consulting, value consulting, proposal management, and then our Navy SEALs, our technical specialists.
Great. So we're here to talk about the buyer's experience. And, you know, one of the topics we talk about a lot on the show is the customer experience. And often we're focused on the pre-sale customer experience or the post-sale customer experience. But today we're going to focus more on that buying part of the customer journey, and particularly in an enterprise B2B environment, which is where you're working in primarily, and just how critical that part of the journey is. So, you know, first question, do you think the buying experience can sometimes be overlooked or simply downplayed in importance when it comes to B2B enterprise sales? And what are some of the byproducts of this happening?
Yeah. So interesting question, especially because at DocuSign, right, we kind of view everyone in the world as a customer, but we have a very specific motion for B2B enterprise. So it's a very defined segment. And I was thinking about this one, and I think my initial reaction is no, I don't think it's overlooked as part of that customer journey. I think it's viewed, especially with the teams I work with here, as so critical to our success in how we're interacting with our buyers, especially in that B2B enterprise motion, because they expect white glove, smart, consultative account teams that are kind of come in and work with them that know their business, know their industry, are bringing solutions to them that will help their company achieve the outcomes that they want for their business and ultimately their customers. What I do think the desire or what has been possibly overlooked or downplayed that we're starting to see come to life is the desire for that buyer to self-educate upfront prior to engaging an enterprise sales team. And so, again, a lot of companies today aren't spending their budgets on those external platforms that can help your prospects buy or get educated to buy. So if you can, I think the shift that, we're seeing is if you can start to provide them that experience, right, the ability to access the right content up front, it can actually help your B2B enterprise motion because you're going to now have a much more qualified, I would say, smarter buyer and more elevated overall sales motion that will occur.
Yeah, yeah. And so to build on that, successful companies that do enhance the buyer's experience, you touched on the education piece of it.
Yeah.
How do they do things like that and perhaps other things that set these customers up for success down the road so that ideally they become longer term customers, right? The buzzword of the moment is customer lifetime value, right? So, how do they set their customers up for success down the road?
Yeah. I'm going to throw in another buzzword in a minute. I think the companies that, I see doing this the best are providing the curated, easily accessible, easily searchable content that meets a buyer where they are. And that dovetails into buyers wanting a more product-centric digital buying experience moving forward. And we're seeing that especially play out here. Again, I mentioned DocuSign so broad, but more down market, not necessarily in B2B enterprise, but with our consumer and small medium business and mid-market companies, the more they can do autonomously, the better. And so kind of shifting, you look at like post-sale and when they have become a customer, and this is kind of in lines with wanting to continue to partner with these customers, community is a huge opportunity to drive that. And I have a dear friend and colleague here, Tanya Fadul, and she's coined customer-led growth. So a little different than customer lifetime value. Yeah. But, the premise behind that is like customers want to interact with other customers. And the more we can provide them those opportunities, whether it's in online forums, user groups, advisory councils, the better, because they want to increase their knowledge and expertise, understand, what their peer group is doing and experiencing. And then when companies, that they're buying from can recognize them for that or provide them those forums, it cultivates a network and a fan base. And I think they become much more motivated to help one another. And that increases the trust and loyalty back to whoever they may be buying from. And it will evolve. And this kind of ties into like more of the customer-led growth angle, where customers can become so educated, on solutions that they can start to help sell, especially within these community forums, on their behalf, which I think the beauty of CRISPR-like growth.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So DocuSign is certainly a well-known leader in automation of critical processes and steps in internal processes. I know personally, I lost track of how many DocuSign documents I've signed over the years. I actually use it for my consulting practice for contracts and things like that too. So, you know, I'm familiar with at least part of what you do fairly well. But, you know, how can automation of critical processes, you know, that type of thinking and expertise be brought to the way that software and services are purchased?
Yeah, no, great question. Thank you for being a customer. Deeply appreciated. And I think, and you know, obviously I've had the chance to interact and talk with so many customers as well. And I think part of the reason DocuSign has been so successful is because we really truly keep the customer at the heart of everything we do, how we design our solutions, our user interface, the experience, especially mobile, that we want to deliver for them so they can in turn go and help their own customers. So mapping that simplicity and ease of use to purchasing is something that we, and I think many other companies, are heavily focused on right now. So essentially everything that can be self-service, you know, will be self-service. Yeah. And, you know, it's like kind of coming soon for us. It's a journey. We're not there yet, but I can bring this to life with a quick story. My friend, Greg Dickinson, he's the founder and CEO at Omidem Software, and his company is in this, right? They're working to digitize the buyer experience. They happen to be a DocuSign customer. But if you were to go to their website right now, you know, he has, you know, his thesis statement, you know, right there. And it's essentially, you know, you can go online and buy a Tesla for $55,000 in less than 5 minutes. But a $55,000 SaaS transaction likely takes 5+ months and many expensive people working on it to close. So I think like that's the gap. The market's evolving fast. Like that's the net. But like that, you know, when he shared that with me, I was like, oh my God, like it hit me in the face. It's true, right?
Yeah.
You provide that simple experience for purchasing. Every single question you could possibly think of is right there. You know, people are gonna, you know, they're gonna buy online.
Before we continue, let's take a quick break. If you're like many marketing leaders today, you're inundated with a need to improve the customer experience across an increasing number of channels and touch points, all while ensuring your team is performing well, innovating, and continuously improving. So how do you find the time to determine what's next for you, your team, your brand, and your customers? My company, GK5A, can help. Whether it is advisory services, evaluation of marketing technology platforms and solutions, or digital agencies and implementation partners, or assistance with creating strategic roadmaps and prioritization of efforts, we've done it all and served as an ally to Fortune 1000 brands and industries like financial services, healthcare, consumer electronics, professional services, and more. You can learn more about these services and contact us at www.gk5a. That's www.gk5a.com. Now let's get back to the show. So just to continue our discussion of buzzwords here, you know, there's a lot of talk about AI and, you know, ChatGPT and Google just came out with Bard. And is there such a thing as too much automation? You know, where does automation cease to be helpful and instead causes a less than optimal customer or buyer experience? And, you know, how do you think about balancing those two?
It's a great question. I don't know if I have the perfect answer. I mean, again, things are moving and innovating so quickly right now. But as we've been discussing, this modern buyer, I really believe, wants the mediums, the communities, the content, you know, especially when you can weave in, you know, where we're going with AI and what that does, even just a simple search. Yeah. That it empowers the buyer to do their own research in a way they've never been able to do that before. So you kind of have that side of the equation. But I do believe buyers still need and want to engage with people. Yeah. So especially, you know, when you're spending, you know, and I just use the Tesla example, right? And I think like if it's simple and direct, that makes a ton of sense. But when you have complexity, integrations, you know, integrating into multiple systems, non-standard, non-cookie cutter problems that you're looking to solve, and this could be small deals or this could be bad to like the B2B, you know, very large deals, there is going to be this need to engage, you know, with actual people to solve these more complex problems, especially when you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for a new technology.
Right.
So I don't know where the line is exactly. I think, you know, we're trying to even figure some of that out as well. But I do think there can be such thing as too much automation.
Yeah. Where do you see the future of automation and the buying and sales process going? You know, what do we have to look forward to there?
Yeah, well, we've used a few buzzwords on the customer side. I think we're going to continue to see strong momentum in PLG, product-led growth. Just to throw another one out there, IPC and product communication. And it again, it's tying back to making it as easy as possible for the buyer. So like if I want to go in and do something simple as like adding new users or simple feature add-ons, you know, being able to do that, you know, within a company's software, kind of placing that at the middle of their buying journey, yeah. It broadens their experience, right? So they can do, you know, the product is almost doing the selling digitally, right? By understanding the behaviors, the patterns, you know, of whoever may be using it, the customer, and monitoring that, there's the ability, again, thinking of the AI, right, to tailor, hey, we're seeing you use like these three features. That's fantastic. We also have ABC that you may be interested in. And doing that, you know, that's the in-product communication, right? Right within the solution, it's detecting, you know, how you're engaging with a service or a product. And then it's starting to essentially sell or tee up for you what you might be able to buy. And so I still strongly believe that customer-led growth will trump product-led growth or should be the focus. Because again, our mantra here in like every other company, right? It should always be about the customer and how we can serve them and reward them and build these experiences within the product for them without side, you know, the content that they may need outside the product to expand their horizons. But that sense of community and network and loyalty, so they'll want to keep doing business with us, but also feel inspired and motivated to want to help others. I think that's more of our holy grail.
Yeah, yeah. And so a lot of the work to automate things and make things smoother from an internal perspective, a lot of this is tied up in digital transformation. Again, another overused word probably, but we're
such an umbrella term.
Right. But, you know, a goal of digital transformation often is operational as well as customer, improving the customer experience. I want to talk a little bit about the internal part of this, because a lot of the talk about digital transformation, even though there's a lot of internal stuff that goes on, I think a lot of the talk about it is the end results to the end customers. So instead, you know, just to focus a little bit more internally, you know, what have you seen as far as positive impacts when organizations are doing digital transformation well?
Yeah. And I should say, I mean, it's an umbrella term that we love the term. We love everything digital transformation.
Yeah.
We love hearing, you know, those words no matter what. But I mean, I can speak from experience, both from, you know, myself personally and working with customers, that, you know, when it's digital versus paper or manual, it honestly just makes you like your job more because you have time to focus on the interesting strategic work versus the administrative, you know, annoying work. So it's like the ease of use And the ability to do business from like anywhere on your phone or a device, it just, it brings a smile. I mean, I know for me personally, right? I have to interact with data and agreements like all day long. And when I'm signing an offer letter, when I'm walking to grab lunch, like that's so efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, from my own personal experience, just storage and organization. I mean, obviously I've been a DocuSign almost 9 years. I mean, I can find any agreement I've ever interacted with, put data into, approve, sign in seconds, right? Because it's all in one repository. But the data in those agreements, it can be, you know, and obviously we're probably, this is our bread and butter, but like it can be acted upon and it can interact with other systems like ERPs. It can streamline processing. You can capture key obligations and dates to ensure you're not losing money. You're maximizing, what you're contracting for. You're realizing cost savings that you've negotiated. The other thing for us, like for me, and this is, from, again, personal experience, but also really talking to customers is, when you have digital transformation, you're mitigating risk because anything paper or manual equals risk. And you're playing with fire when you're not working to digitize those business processes.
What about things to avoid, for all the benefits? Completely agree with your assessment, and I hate paper personally myself, so anything I can do to remove a piece of paper out of my life, I'm all for. But what should organizations be either avoiding or at least thinking very carefully about as they undergo transformation?
It's a great question. I mean, there's one element of this, for me that is, it ties back to change management 101. I think, and maybe I'll flip this into what you absolutely should do in, to help ensure success. There's got to be strong sponsorship to ensure adoption. And that adoption is non-negotiable because it's still change management. Even if it's the simplest thing in the world, you form habits, in one way, and sometimes it's hard to change. So there's got to be the sponsorship. And what we've seen help that quite a bit is having the, at the customer, the internal resources, the champions, working to get them excited, sharing the early wins, and just having that dedicated team that can help win the hearts and minds of the larger employee base that you may be rolling out to. And then just like constant, drumbeat positive communications and making sure the resources, whether it's a center of excellence or not, is set up for the team so that they feel supported and that they can ask any question up front and get that answered, and just getting them excited about moving into, a future state process.
Definitely. Change is tough. I mean, I know when I was writing my latest book, House of the Customer, the stages of adapting to change are the same as the stages of adapting to grief, right? Oh, it's obviously very different, and hopefully people have a good enough balance between work and life to understand the difference, but it's still, it's the same process. We're humans, we don't like change. And, whether it's something that we've been doing day to day in our jobs for 5 years or, something else, it's, we deal with it the same way. So yeah, I thought that was, just fascinating and it gave a lot of insights into just how hard it can be for people to do something new.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I've never drawn that correlation or thought too, but that it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So as far as measuring success of transformation, so, there's a lot of things implied in, when you're automating things, you're assuming there's going to be, greater efficiency and things like that. But, how should an organization measure success of transformation from internal metrics?
Yeah. So there's a couple, I think, key categories here. I think one is, and one is just very simplistic, right? You have like hard and soft dollar costs. So costs of paper, printing, shipping, you know, there is always a productivity element to that as well. And, you know, the people that are required to manage those manual processes. So that's absolutely one. And that's kind of, I would say, like foundational. You know, DocuSign, and again, digital transformation, we think about that. It's, you know, taking a manual paper-based process typically and trying to keep it digital end to end. And when you can do that, especially when it comes to agreements, they're so, you know, you start to get into another level of value driver, right? And I was alluding to this before, but when you think of like contract lifecycle management, for example, and revenue leakage. So if you're doing it all manual today, you're not really understanding what's inside your agreement. So you're not capturing like, you know, pricing optimization, which could be, hey, after you buy X amount of this, your price is going to go down significantly. Or, you know, once you hit this milestone, your price is going to go up. So there's definitely a whole bucket around cost saving and revenue leakage and time to revenue. When you're able to extract the data that's inside those agreements, there's a huge ROI there. And then similar, right? When you think of how much time you're spending generating agreements, negotiating agreements, reviewing, approving, going back and is this the right version? Okay, this is the 10th Amendment. What are the prevailing terms across all of these? If it's a large company, you know, we have one customer, they have like 50 addendums to a master agreement with a very large company, and they have like no idea like what the current terms are.
Yeah.
And so being able, when it's digital and you can draw those correlations and relationships, there really is, you know, outside of the revenue cost leakage savings, there's really just this massive productivity lift. But then it always goes back to risk, right? Because it's very important to understand, you know, what you're contracting to and if there is any risk based on that to your business. And if there is, you know, where does that risk sit and how would you mitigate it if needed?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Leah, thanks so much for joining the show. I've got one last question before we wrap up here. For those organizations that are, they know they need to streamline internal processes, might be part of a transformation or it might necessitate one. What's one piece of advice that you would have for them as they navigate the months ahead?
Great question. Again, I think my number one piece of advice would be do your homework and put the work in to find the company that's going to partner with you and has a large customer and community base that has done it before. So they can really act on your behalf as almost consultants, right? Their expertise will guide you along the way.
That's great. Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Leah McTiernan, GVP Pre-Sales Solutions at DocuSign, for joining the show. You can learn more about Leah and DocuSign by following the links in the show notes.
Thanks again for listening to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKIHLSTROM.com. To get a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, visit my website, or you can find it on Amazon or other retailers. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.